ಕಥಮೂಚ ಭಿಕ್ಕವೇ ಸಮ್ಮ ಕಮ್ಮಂತು ದೆನ್ ಪಾಣಾತಿಪಾತ ವೀರಮಣಿ ಅದಿನ್ನಾದಾನ ವೀರಮಣಿ ಕಾಮೇಶು ಮಿಚ್ಛಾಚಾರ ವೀರಮಣಿ ಅಟ್ ದ ಬಾಡಿ ಲೆವೆಲ್ ಆಲ್ ದೋಸ್ ಅಬ್ಸ್ಟೆನೆನ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಅನ್ಹೋಲ್ಸಮ್ ಆಕ್ಷನ್ಸ್ ಲೈಕ್ ಕಿಲಿಂಗ್ ಆರ್ ಸ್ಟೀಲಿಂಗ್ ಆರ್ ಸೆಕ್ಸುವಲ್ ಮಿಸ್ಕಂಡಕ್ಟ್ ದಟ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಮಸ್ಟ್ ಹ್ಯಾಪನ್. ಯು ಮಸ್ಟ್ ಲಿವ್ ಎ ಲೈಫ್ ದಟ್ ಲುಕ್ ಐ ಆಮ್ ಲಿವಿಂಗ್ ಎ ಲೈಫ್ ನಾವ್ ವೇರ್ ಐ ಡೋಂಟ್ ಕಿಲ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಐ ಆಮ್ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಪೀರಿಯನ್ಸಿಂಗ್ ಇಟ್ ಪಜಾನಾತಿ ಅಂಡ್ ಲುಕ್ ಐ ಆಮ್ ಲಿವಿಂಗ್ ಎ ಲೈಫ್ ವೇರ್ ದೇರ್ ಇಸ್ ನೋ ಮೋರ್ ಸ್ಟೀಲಿಂಗ್ ಆರ್ ವೇರ್ ದೇರ್ ಇಸ್ ನೋ ಮೋರ್ ಸೆಕ್ಸುವಲ್ ಮಿಸ್ಕಂಡಕ್ಟ್ ಅಂಡ್ ದಿಸ್ ಮಸ್ಟ್ ಬಿ ಲಿವ್ಡ್ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಪೀರಿಯನ್ಸ್ ದೆನ್ ಪಜಾನಾತಿ. ಕಥಮೌಚ ಬಿಕ್ಕವೇ ಸಮ್ಮ ಆ ಜೀವು ರೈಟ್ ಲೈವ್ಲಿಹುಡ್ ಇದ ಬಿಕ್ಕವೇ ಅರಿಯ ಸಾವಕೋ ಮಿಚ್ಛ ಆ ಜೀವಂ ಪಹಾಯ ಆಲ್ ದಟ್ ವಿಚ್ ಇಸ್ ಅನ್ಹೋಲ್ಸಮ್ ಲೈವ್ಲಿಹುಡ್ ಆರ್ ಟೇಕನ್ ಅವೇ ಅಂಡ್ ದನ್ ಸಮ್ಮ ಆ ಜೀವೇನ ಜೀವಿತಂ ಕಪ್ಪೇತಿ ಅಯಂಗ್ ಉಚ್ಚತಿ ಬಿಕ್ಕವೇ ಸಮ್ಮ ಆ ಜೀವು. ಕಥಮೌಚ ಬಿಕ್ಕವೇ ಸಮ್ಮ ವಾಯಾಮು ವಾಟ್ ಈಸ್ ದ ಪ್ರೋಪರ್ ಅಫರ್ಟ್ಸ್ ಇದ ಬಿಕ್ಕವೇ ಬಿಕ್ಕು ಅನುಪನ್ನಾನಂ ಪಾಪಕಾನಂ ಅಕುಶಲಾನಂ ಧಮ್ಮಾನಂ ಅನುಪಾದಾಯ ಛಂದಂ ಜನೈತಿ ವಾಯಮತಿ ವಿರಿಯಂ ಆರಭತಿ ಚಿತ್ತಂ ಪಗ್ಣಾತಿ ಪದಹತಿ ವಾಟ್ ಎವರ್ ಇಂಪ್ಯೂರಿಟಿ ಇಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ರೀಜನ್ ಒನ್ ಡಸಂಟ್ ಅಲೌ ದೆಮ್ ಟು ಅರೈಸ್ ಉಪ್ಪನ್ನಾನಂಗ ಪಾಪಕಾನಂಗ ಕುಶಲಾನಂಗ ಧಮ್ಮಾನಂಗ ಪಹಾನಾಯ ಛಂದಂ ಜನೈತಿ ವಾಯಮತಿ ವಿರಿಯಂ ಆರಭತಿ ಚಿತ್ತಂ ಪಗ್ಣಾತಿ ಪದಹತಿ ಅಂಡ್ ವಾಟ್ ಎವರ್ ಅನ್ಹೋಲ್ಸಮ್ ಥಿಂಗ್ಸ್ ಆರ್ ರೀಜನ್ ಒನ್ ಟೇಕ್ಸ್ ದಮ್ ಔಟ್ ಅಂದ ಅನುಪನ್ನಾನಂಗ ಕುಶಲಾನಂಗ ಧಮ್ಮಾನಂಗ ಉಪ್ಪಾದಾಯ ಛಂದಂಗ ಜನೈತಿ ವಾಯಮತಿ ವಿರಿಯಂಗ್ ಆರಭತಿ ಚಿತ್ತಂಗ್ ಪಘಣಾತಿ ಪದಹತಿ ವಾಟ್ ಹೋಲ್ಸಮ್ ಥಿಂಗ್ಸ್ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಅರೀಸನ್ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ಅ ರೀಸನ್ ಒನ್ ಟ್ರೈಸ್ ಟು ಮೇಕ್ ದಮ್ ಅರೈಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ದನ್ ಉಪ್ಪನ್ನಾನಂಗ ಕುಶಲಾನಂಗ ಧಮ್ಮಾನಂಗ ಅಸಮ್ಮೌಸಾಯ ಭಿಯೋ ಭಾವಾಯ ವಿಪುಲ್ಲಾಯ ಭಾವನಾಯ ಪಾರಿಪೂರಿಯ ಛಂದಂಗ ಜನೈತಿ ವಾಯಮತಿ ವಿರಿಯಂಗ್ ಭಾರಭತಿ ಚಿತ್ತಂಗ್ ಪಘಣಾತಿ ಪದಹತಿ whatever wholesome things have arisen one tries to retain them and multiply them and reach the stage where it is totally fulfilled. ayang vuccati bhikkhave samma vayamu then katamacha bhikkhave samma sati what is the right sati ida bhikkhave bhikkhu kaye kayanupassi viharati atapi sambhajano satima vinayya loke abhijja dhumanassam ವೇದನಾಸು ವೇದನಾನುಪಸ್ಸಿ ವಿಹರತಿ ಆತಾಪಿ ಸಂಪಜಾನೋ ಸತೀಮ ವಿನಯ್ಯಲೋಕೆ ಅಭಿಜ್ಜಾ ಧೋಮನಸ್ಸಂ ಚಿತ್ತೇ ಚಿತ್ತಾನುಪಸ್ಸಿ ವಿಹರತಿ ಆತಾಪಿ ಸಂಪಜಾನೋ ಸತೀಮ ವಿನಯ್ಯಲೋಕೆ ಅಭಿಜ್ಜಾ ಧೋಮನಸ್ಸಂ ಧಮ್ಮೇಶು ಧಮ್ಮಾನುಪಸ್ಸಿ ವಿಹರತಿ ಆತಾಪಿ ಸಂಪಜಾನೋ ಸತೀಮ ವಿನಯ್ಯಲೋಕೆ ಅಭಿಜ್ಜಾ ಧೋಮನಸ್ಸಂ ಅಯಂಗುಚ್ಚತಿ ಭಿಕ್ಖವೇ ಸಮ್ಮಾ ಸತಿ. ವೇರ್ ಎವರ್ ಹಿ ಹಸ್ ಗಿವನ್ description of sati, what is sati, he repeats this all satipatthana, all the four, and that shows that sati is no sati unless sampajana is there with it. Without sampajana, just awareness, it will be awareness of a circus girl walking on a tight rope. One has no wisdom, one has no understanding of arising and passing, one is not experiencing the sensation at the level of arising and passing, and it is not sampajana. So sampajano is so important along with sati, then only sati becomes sati, then it is samma sati, otherwise it's ordinary sati. Katamocha bhikkhave samma samadhi. What is samma samadhi then? Idha bhikkhave bhikkhu vivicceva kamehi vivicca akusalehi dhammehi saivitakkam saivicharam vivekajam pitisukam pathamang janam upasampajya viharati. In the first absorption, there are objects of thought and there are thought and the mind remains concentrated. This is, and there is a lot of rapture on the body, pleasant sensation on the body. That is first sensation, first jhana. And then vitakka vicharanang vupasama. Now the thoughts and the objects of thoughts have gone away. There is no more thought. Ajjattam sampasadanang chetasago ekodi bhavu evitakkam evicharam samadhijam. And with the stage where there is no more thought, and when there is this pleasant sensation on the body and on the mind, piti sukham dutiyam jhanam upasampajya viharati. This is the second. And the third, piti acha viraga upekkhako cha viharati satocha sampajano. And this mental pleasantness goes away and there is only pleasant sensation on the body, which is a sensation, pleasant sensation of the concentration of the mind. Satocha sampajano sukham cha kayena pati sambedi yang yang ariya achinkhati. In this third jhana, absorption dhyana, he uses the word sampajano. Now understand, even before Buddha became Buddha, the concentration samadhis were there in India, and he went and learned from those two teachers, the seven jhanas and the eight jhanas. Now he's talking of four jhana only. In these four jhanas, there was no sampajano, and that is why one could not go to the depth of the reality of arising and passing away. And that is why one could not take out the deep-rooted impurities of the mind. The surface and slightly deeper impurities were taken away by those jhanas, but still the deep-rooted ones remain, which are responsible to some more lives. And the life continuum continues because of those deep-rooted sankharas. Their roots are there. Now he added sampajana to it. And in the third jhana, when the absorption samadhi of third jhana is there, sampajana is there. Although the five sense doors stop, but the vijnana is there. And one is observing this vijnana, and in this vijnana there is arising, passing, arising, passing, arising. Sampajana is there. But going further, sukhasya pahana, dukkhasya pahana. Now there is no more sukha, there is no more dukkha. Pubbeva somanasya domanasang athangama. Neither there is pleasant, unpleasant feeling on the mind. Addukham, asukham, now it is tranquility. Addukham, asukham, upekha, there is only equanimity. Addukham, asukham, upekha, satipari, suddhang, total purification. Chatuttha jhanang upsampajya viharati. One gets absorbed in the fourth jhana. And the sampajana word is not used here in the fourth jhana. That means the fourth jhana comes with the nibbanic stage. And Nibbanic stage, not the first or the second or the third, the Nibbanic stage of the Arhant. The Arhants, the fourth Nibbanic stage, when it comes with the fourth jhana, it is together. The absorption of the jhana and the absorption of the Nibbana, they come together. And this was the contribution of Buddha for all the different types of meditation, practices of samadhi which was prevalent there. He added this sampajana to take one beyond the entire field of mind and matter to experience the nibbanic stage. Iti ajjattangava dhammesu dhammanupassi viharati. Then the same station, he again repeats. Bahiddava dhammesu dhammanupassi viharati. Ajjatta bahiddava dhammesu dhammanupassi viharati. Samudai dhammanupassi va dhammesu viharati. Vai dhammanupassi va dhammesu viharati. Samudai vai dhammanupassi va dhammesu viharati. Outside, inside, both outside, inside. Arising, passing, both arising, passing. And then, atthi dhammati. Oh, this is dhamma. Vapanasya sati pachupatthita hoti. The awareness gets established in the truth of dhamma, nothing but dhamma. Yavadeva jnanamattaya patisatimattaya anissitocha viharati. Nachay kinchiloke upadiyati. No clinging, there is nothing to cling. Evam pikho bhikkhave bhikkhu. Dhammesu dhammanupassi viharati chatusu arya satchesu. He gives this explanation of dhammesu dhammanupassi. But all these have to be experienced. We read this, we try to understand it, but it is only our experience. As you go deeper, the same very words will become so clear to you. Oh, this is what Buddha meant. As you go further, oh, this is what Buddha meant. Oh, this is what Buddha meant. And when you reach the stage of Arhanthood, then everything is so clear, so clear. So clear by experience, not by reading just the scriptures. And then satipatthana bhavana nisansu, the benefit of the satipatthana. Yohi kochi bhikkhave ime chattaro satipatthane. Any meditator practices this four satipatthana. Evang bhaveya practices exactly as I want them to practice, like this, in this way. Then sattavassani, in 7 years, tas dvinnang phalanang anyattarang phalang patikankang, one of these two stages one reaches by practicing 7 years as he says, as he wants us to practice. What two stages? Ditteva dhamme anya, the total understanding of the truth, that means the arhant stage, the final stage. Or sativa upadise se anagamita, or the stage just before the Arhant stage, Anagami stage, which is just before the Arhant stage, at least these two, the third or the fourth stage one reaches by practicing 7 years. Practicing 7 years. Many questions do come. I have been practicing for more than 7 years and I have not become an Arhant. No, as he wants us to practice. And this as he wants us to practice is Sampajanyanganayarinchati. Not for a moment you miss Sampajanya. So now you are making preparation to reach the stage where you can actually practice as he wants you to practice. You are trying to reach the stage where you don't miss your Sampajanya, doing everything in life. While you are practicing meditation, everything that you do at the physical level, Sampajanya is there, Sampajanya is there. You feel the sensation, you understand arising, passing, arising, passing. Then here is Buddha, an enlightened person who gives you guarantee that within 7 years you are going to become either Anagami or you are going to become Arhant. And then he says, not that, not only that, Tithanta Bhikkhave, leave aside 7 years. Leave aside, Tithanta Bhikkhave Sattavasani, forget about 7 years. Yohi Kochi Bhikkhave Ime Chattaro Satipatthane Evanga Bhaveye Chayavasani, even in 6 years. And then he says, even Panchavasani, 5 years. Chattari Vassani, 4 years. Tini Vassani, 3 years. Dvi Vassani, 2 years. Ekang Vassang, even in 1 year one can reach the final goal. And then he said, Tithattu Bhikkhave Ekang Vassang. You forget this 1 year even. Yeikochi Bhikkhave Ime Chattaro Satipatthane Evanga Bhaveye Sattamasani, 7 months. Tasadinang phalanang anyattarang phalang patikangang ditteva dhamme anya sativa upadi sese anagamita, either Arhant or Anagami. Then says tithantu bhikkhave sattamasani. Oh, even forget this 7 months. Yoyikochi bhikkhave ime chattaro satipatthane evang bhaviye chaymasani, six months. Panchamasani, 5. Chattari masani, 4. Tini masani, dve masani, ekang masang. 1 month. Adhamasang, half month. Tithattu bhikkhave adhamaso. Oh, what half month. Yohikochi bhikkhave ime chattaro satipatthane evang bhaveye sattahang. Just 7 days. Tassa dvinnang phalanang anyattarang phalang patikangang ditteva dhamme anya sativa upadisese anagamita. Now understand why. Why he says 7 years and then he comes to 7 days? It depends from person to person. One may be practicing the same thing. Sampajanyanganayarinchati, not for a moment. One has reached the stage where one does not miss Sampajanyang even for a moment. Day and night, continuous. One has to take 7 years to reach the stage. Reach Arhant stage. One is practicing exactly as he wants him to practice. The other person can finish it in 7 months. One can finish it in 7 days. Why? Because of the old accumulation. Different people have different accumulation of the past. Even one has reached the stage where every moment one is aware with sampajano. By that, one is eradicating deep-rooted sankharas at a very deep level. But if the stock is too much, it takes time. May take 7 years. May take 7 months. May take 7 days. There had been instances where it happened within about half an hour. Like this person who went all the way from Bombay and he wanted to learn Dhamma, and Buddha gave him Dhamma. Dittamattang bhavishyati, in observe, seeing there must be only seeing, in listening there must be only listening. And he was so perfect because he has worked so much in previous lives, so much practice was there, and the impurity was so little that within a few minutes he worked there and he is the stage of Arhant. So it depends from person to person, but still the technique remains the same. All these practices, whether one gives importance to body and whether one starts by this walking, we don't condemn all those things, understand? Somebody has started somewhere, one is just walking, and one even repeating mentally, I am walking. Doesn't matter, it's a beginning. Beginning for somebody who can't observe the breath, who can't observe any sensation, let him start like that. I'm eating, I'm walking. And when sensation starts, I'm itching, if there's itching, itching. These are just beginners.
Because at least you know what is happening. There is itching going on. All right, you say itching, itching, your mind gets concentrated. No, panya is involved. Panya comes, sampajanya comes only when there is itching and you understand the arising and passing, arising and passing. The sampajanya comes only when you are walking and there is a sensation arising and passing, arising and passing. Sampajanya is missing. Only sati is there. But doesn't matter. It's the beginning. You go to your kindergarten school and you start like that. And then you proceed further, further, further. And you make your doctorate. It takes time. Whatever you do, the aim should be very clear. That from wherever you start, whether you go to a cemetery and if you are mad after the sex desires, then better go to a cemetery. Nowadays you don't have such cemeteries where you get the dead bodies. You can go to a mortuary in a hospital and see the dead body there being dissected and all that. And looking that, you start thinking that yes, my body also will become like this, or so-and-so's body will also become like this. At least you are balancing your mind to some extent. And then you proceed from this or that. Doesn't matter according to your requirement. But you have to come to the stage where sampajanya, the sensations, that means you are experiencing them, arising, passing. For a few seconds you are aware, then you forget, maybe for minutes together. Then few seconds you are there, you forget for minutes together, maybe hours together. This is how you work. And then working, then you forget for small time only. You forget for small time and you reach the stage where you don't forget even for a moment. It may take long time. One cannot say. Once you reach the stage where sampajanyanga na rinchati, you don't miss it even for a moment, from there onwards, 7 years is the limit. It can be less, according to what capacity you have. And then, closing it, ekayano ayanga bhikkhave maggo sattanang visuddhiya. This is the only way of purification of the being. Soka parideva nanga sammatikkamaya. All these griefs, dukkhado manassa nanga thangamaya. The bodily unpleasant sensations and the mental unpleasant feelings. Nyayasa adhikamaya, to walk on the path of liberation. And finally, nibbanasa satchikiriyaya, to experience something which is beyond mind and matter, which is eternal. Yadidam chattaro satipatthanati. When he says, ekayano maggo. Now it is not a narrow sectarian way of talking. That because I am saying so, because my sect or my belief is like this, so it is so. This is law of nature. And this law of nature can be experienced by one and all. It is not that one should say that I am a Buddhist, and then only this law of nature will start helping you, and then only this technique will start helping you. When we call oneself Buddhist or no Buddhist, makes no difference. So long as you understand the reality at the experiential level, and you understand how the dukkha samudaya, how the dukkha arises because of these sensations, and you are reacting to these sensations, you become miserable. And how, when you are coming out of it, and look how you reach the stage where you are free from these sensations, you go beyond sensations. All that can be experienced by one and all. This is universal law. This is not the law applicable only to those people who have got implicit faith in Buddha or implicit faith in Dhamma or in Sangha. Nothing doing. This is law. A truth, a law of nature. Whether Buddha or no Buddha, the law is always there. Like a person by the name of Galileo, he found out that the earth is round. Before that, people were thinking the earth is flat. Whether there was Galileo or no Galileo, the truth of the earth was that it is round and it is rotating on its own axis. This truth was there even before Galileo, at the time of Galileo or after Galileo. Somebody by the name of Newton found out there is a law of gravity. This law of gravity was there even before Newton or at the time of Newton or before after Newton. Somebody by the name of Einstein found out this law of relativity. It was there even before or at the time or later. Similarly, this law, how misery arises and how it can be eradicated. This law is there. Two parts of hydrogen, one part of oxygen, get together, there is moisture. This is law. Not Hindu law, not Buddhist law, not Christian law. This is the law. This is the nature. Law of nature, universal law of nature. In such planets where there is no oxygen, there is no hydrogen, there is no moisture. There can't be any water. Similarly, wherever there is ignorance, ignorance means one doesn't know what is happening deep inside, one doesn't know that, look, this is misery, and this is how misery arises, this is how it can be eradicated. If one does not know that at the actual level, experiential level, wherever this ignorance is there, and because of this ignorance, if the reaction is going on, reaction of craving, reaction of aversion, the misery is there. This is law. Not Hindu law or Buddhist law or Christian law. This is law. And wherever there is no more avidya, now no more ignorance is there, one is fully aware of things that are happening, and fully with sampajana one is not reacting, one is coming out of it. This is law. The entire thing is to understand the truth of the law of universe, and then make use of it for one's own liberation. If one does not understand it at the actual level, one is not coming out, one is not getting liberated. At the intellectual level, yes, it helps us to give inspiration, to give guidance. If one does not understand even at the intellectual level, one remains so ignorant and so much attached to one's own philosophical belief, this belief, this belief, this tradition, that tradition, one won't even try to understand. One will keep on saying the earth is flat, I can't believe the earth is round, it is flat, look, it is flat. The whole life one may keep on talking like that. The earth is not going to become flat for him. It is round, it is round. One will say there is no gravity law, it's not going to change for him. Similarly, people having different kinds of views because of this philosophy, this belief, that belief, and they won't even try to understand the truth, even at the intellectual level, how can they walk on this? How can they explore the truth? How can they realize the truth at the experiential level? That is why it is said, ekayeno maggo. The truth is there. The law is there. Which is there not because of our belief. Which is there not because Buddha said so. It is there. This is the law. And one can explore this truth, this law, at the experiential level and find out that, look, this is fire. I place my hand on the fire, it burns. I don't like burning. The law of nature is that wherever there is fire, and I keep my hand on that fire or any part of my body on the fire, it burns. It's very unpleasant. If I don't want it, I better keep my hand away from the fire. Exactly, law like this. If there is craving, aversion, the sensation is there all the time, from the time one has taken birth till the time one dies, there is this, the sensation arising, passing, pleasant, unpleasant, neutral, pleasant, unpleasant, neutral. And ignorantly one keeps on reacting to them, misery is there. You can't help it. This is law. And if you stop reacting to it, you just observe, arising, passing, you start changing the habit pattern and you are coming out of, this is another law. That is the law which gives you misery. Like the law of the fire, you put your hand on it, it will burn you. You put some water on this fire, the fire gets extinguished and you are free from this misery. The fire is there, the fire of craving, fire of aversion. By practice, you extinguish this fire of craving, fire of aversion, you are out of it. That is how it is. Ekayano makku. The law is one and one for all. The truth is one for all. Nature is one for all. And we have to understand that and live a life in accordance to that. You attended the Satipatthana course. To understand it directly in the words of Buddha, not that in the first Satipatthana course one understands everything, as I said, every word will be clear when you reach the final goal. But it will become clearer and clearer as you practice. So many questions keep coming. I smile at the questions. They are good. After all, human being is a rational being. He want to rationalize whatever one is doing. Yes, it is good. One should do. But questions, somebody who has passed through that process, it looks like a child's question. But when people ask, the same very persons who are asking this question, practicing further, the answer will come. And the answer that will come by your own practice will be the real answer. The teacher will try to give answer to some of your questions, but that will satisfy you. Even if it satisfies you, it may not satisfy you. Your intellect will say, oh, no, I argue this way, I argue that way. And even if it satisfies you, who knows, after some time, after some days, something else will come out in your mind. Some more doubt will come in your mind. And all this explanation is washed away. So explanation which comes merely at the intellectual level is only temporary. The explanation that you are going to get for every question that you are asking, the explanation that you are going to get by your own experience will be the real explanation. And the stage is the stage where there is no more doubt. How can there be doubt when you experienced it? By experience I know this is my spectacle. This is my spectacle, there cannot be any doubt about this. This is my soul, there can be no doubt about that. But if I just make an imagination, somebody has said there is a spectacle, something like spectacle which is so. Well, I just accept because somebody has said so. There is something like the soul which is like this. I've never seen it. I've not experienced it. Then different kinds of doubts will arise. But the Dhamma, if you experience, and as you keep on experiencing, every course you come, the same discourses, the same words, and that is lofty. And one is not gone to that limitless stage is unlocked. Mahagat or non-mahagat. You have mentioned during this course that noting of mental states arising, noting, if you note certain predominant states like anger or fantasy, then what should you do to deal with these situations? Good question. Could you give an example? Yes. When anger has arisen, and you just keep on by noting, it was perhaps not properly understood. By noting, it does not mean that you keep on reciting mentally anger, 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 anger. This will help you to concentrate your mind. This will help you to some extent to understand, look, there is anger now. But wisdom is missing. Sampajanyang is missing. You just, without repeating this word even mentally, you just accept, now my mind is with anger. Say doso va chittang say dosang chittang tipajanati. Now mind is a mind of anger. That's all. And what you have to do is start observing the sensation. Any sensation that you are experiencing at that time on your body is related to whatever is arisen in the mind. The anger is connected to whatever sensation you are experiencing. So anywhere, it is not necessary when anger has come, and then you move from head to feet, observing every part, not necessary. Wherever there is a predominant sensation, you just observe it, and observe it with this understanding arising, passing, sampajanu, sampajanu. There is anger at the mental level, and there is sensation at the physical level, and look, it is arising, passing. Similarly, anything else that happens, fear comes, passion comes, ego comes, any kind of impurity that arises in the mind, you are with the sensation. You accept the reality of the mental content, and keep on observing the sensation arising, passing. Then it is sampajanu. From what do kalapas arise? And to what do they pass away? Something cannot come from nothing. That means we must know how it originated. Again, one starts running in the field of philosophy, which is mere imagination. Speculation does not help us anywhere. From where it started, from where this kalapa started, from where this universe started, and how it started, how it was created, what raw material it was created, and from where those raw material came, where this raw material started. And then the question will come, who created it? And then from where this creator started? Who is the creator of this creator? And then who is the creator of this creator's creator, creators of creator? This is how all the philosophies have started. The main thing to see is that the creation is going on every moment. At this moment, things are getting created. Kalapas are getting created, arising, passing. And my ignorance towards this arising, passing results in my craving and aversion, which results in my misery. And this is more important for me, to come out of my misery, rather than just contemplating how it started, where it started. Buddha said they are all irrelevant questions. When one reaches the stage of Aranthud, everything is clear. But for the ordinary person who is just on the path, they are all irrelevant. Things which have nothing to do with your misery, things which have nothing to do with the cause of your misery, things which have nothing to do with the eradication of your misery, things which have nothing to do with the way to eradicate your misery, are useless for you. Meaningless. Human life is such a valuable life and such a short life. You can live maximum 100 years or 120 years. Still it is so short. And you have to do such a big job to change the habit pattern of your mind at the deepest level and reach the final goal of full liberation. Wasting time over such kind of philosophical question does not help us. Leave them aside and work, and the reality that you will experience later on will convince everything. How did ignorance begin? Again, how it begin? There was only truth, love, wisdom, knowledge. Ignorance cannot coexist. That's what I say, it cannot coexist. But look, if you start seeing that there is ignorance now at this moment, better take it away and the purity comes. At this moment is more important from you from what is from the origin is meaningless. Again, it becomes a philosophy, it doesn't help. What does va denote? In Pali language, va means aranyagato va rukkamu, either here or there is va. Who was Lady Sayadaw's teacher? There is no recorded history, but Lady Sayadaw says that he went to some monk in Mandalay and there he learned this technique. We don't have the name of the predecessors, but it was the technique even before Lady Sayadaw. Did the Buddha teach outside of India, that is Burma? There is no evidence for that. He teached only in the Ganga, Jamuna, this area, northern India. With all the respect, how may we say a Buddha rediscovered the lost technique when he was taught it and took his vow in front of a previous Buddha? Doesn't he owe his success to the dormant Sangha? Yes, Dhamma remains dormant and somebody has to find out. When you say he took a vow, he was not taught Vipassana. He was fit to be taught Vipassana. There are many, when they come across a fully enlightened one, they get so much inspired and a kind of desire arises that, oh, why I should just get liberated myself like this person. He's helping liberation of so many. I must also reach the stage where I become a Samma Sambuddha and I liberate so many. And then he expresses this to the Samma Sambuddha, to the fully liberated one. And that Samma Sambuddha, who is there at that time, he will examine the mind of this person. Is it a momentary sentiment or is there any strength in it? If he finds that this person has a background of so many countless eons, he has been working on Dhamma, and now he is at a stage where if Vipassana is given to this person, very soon he will become an Arhant. He will become fully liberated. And knowing that, he says, I don't want to become fully liberated now. It may take countless eons. I will develop my parami to such an extent that I will be able to help others. And every life, I will be helping others. This is more important for me. And when he finds, yes, this person has that capacity, then he gives not just a blessing, but also that it will take so long for this person to reach. He gives a prediction. This does not mean that he has been given Vipassana. He was capable of getting Vipassana and getting the stage of Aranthood. At the time, the last life when he became Gautama, then there was darkness. People were talking about Vipassana. The word Vipassana was there. The most ancient literature of India, the scripture, Vedas, and amongst the Vedas also Rig Veda is the most ancient. Very high laudable words are there pertaining to Vipassana. But just words are there. People made rites and rituals. They will just announce those words, they will recite those words. Like this recitation going on, somebody objected, why this recitation going on? Yes, if this becomes only recitation, it doesn't work. But with this recitation, you understand and you work. If you don't work, this just means a rite or a ritual. So the word Vipassana was there, but it was just a rite or a ritual. Nobody knew what Vipassana is and how to practice it. This person, having tried all different things, because of his paramis of the past, he could go to the depth and discover this technique, which is an old technique. Initially, first time when he experiences it, he says, Pubbe ananusutte su dhamme su chakkhung utapadi. In this dhamma, in this truth, in this law, which I had never heard before. That means it is something new, which I had never heard before. Oh, my eyes have opened. That means I could see it now. My eyes, inner eyes have opened. Pubbe ananusutte su dhamme su. He says he has never heard. And then later on he says, Purano Maggu. Oh, it is such an ancient path. Purano Maggu. E Samaggu Sanantano. This is the eternal path from so long past. It is there all the time. People forget it. They don't use it. When they don't use it, then it is forgotten. Somebody who becomes a Buddha becomes by rediscovering it and then distributing it to the people. So the path is there. It is dormant. One takes it out. Does an entity with sankharas causing rebirth have any choice in circumstances of rebirth? Or this actually is determined by past sankharas? Yes, quite true, past sankharas. Whatever sankharas you have from the past, those which are responsible for a new life in the lower fields, they are so powerful that at the time of death, one or the other of that will rise. And when that arises in the mind, which is the last mind of this life, then the vibration that is generated gets tuned up with the vibration of that particular plane. And one gets just sucked there. One can come out of this by practicing vipassana, vipassana, vipassana. If one has practiced vipassana properly, then at the time of death, even if there are sankharas, still left sankharas, which are harmful, which may take to the lower, but this practice of vipassana, the vibration of vipassana is so strong that at the time of death, this arises. This arises, then it gets connected with a life where one can practice vipassana. Will not take you to the life where one cannot practice vipassana, because this is not the vibration of vipassana, the last moment of the mind. And this is law of nature. Law of nature, you get tuned up with the vibrations of different places according to the vibration that you are generating yourself. So in one way you can say that you can choose. You can choose not to go to the lower fields. That's all. And in another way, you have no choice, because if you don't practice vipassana, then something or the other will come and it will sweep away, it will suck away to the deeper levels of misery. If the reward for achieving nirvana, bodily death, why practice to die? You reach nirvana and this question will be answered automatically. This is not annihilation. Art of dying is a wonderful art. You are learning art of dying, which gives you the art of living. Vipassana gives you the art of living. You can't reach that stage, which you say death. Even in this life, you experience nibbanic stage. The sense doors do not work. It is something like a death. But yet, you are fully awakened inside. And this stage can come only if you know how to live, art of living, coming out of sankharas, coming out of impurities. And that gives you such a healthy life. So art of living is involved in art of death. Don't get frightened by death. After becoming a liberated person, if you have no more rebirths, where do you live? Oh, such questions, again. Such questions were asked to Buddha time and again. What happens to a arhant after the death? Tell us. Otherwise, what's the use of my becoming arhant? If I don't know what's going to happen to me after becoming arhant and after death. Just to satisfy that, the Dhamma is there. What happens after the death of a arhant is experienced by the arhant in this very life. Because when the arhant experiences the fruit of aranthood, the fourth stage of Nibbana, he experiences in this very life. So you understand, oh, this is the ultimate. So after death also, this is what is going to happen. But this cannot be explained. Nobody can explain, because this is an experience beyond mind and matter, beyond the entire sensual field. With sense organs, you can't express something which you experienced beyond sense organs. Somebody who knows only three dimensions of the reality, and suddenly one experiences the fourth dimension, how can he tell that fourth dimension? And how can people understand what this fourth dimension is? Exactly the same thing. The nibbanic stage cannot be explained in words. But the proof is in eating the cake. You experience it by this practice, on this path, you experience that stage and you are fully convinced what will happen after my death, after becoming arhant. The I is non-existent. an illusion. How then can this non-existent object be reincarnated? Nothing is incarnated. This is a flow of this mind and matter which continues. The sankhara is the pushing force. Every life, every moment, the sankhara, sankhara paccaya vinyanam, sankhara paccaya vinyanam, one or the other of the sankhara will give the arising of the next moment's vinyana, again sankhara, next moment's vinyana. At the time of death, some deep sankhara, strong sankhara gives a push, and then again it arises somewhere with some other body. So the mind and matter, there's a flow of mind and matter, continuous flow of mind and matter, till you eradicate all your sankharas. Can a married person who becomes enlightened still have children? You become enlightened, the question will get solved. Why worry? As you proceed on the path, naturally the sex passion becomes weaker, 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 it goes away. And you feel still, you feel so contented, so happy. Then there is no problem of having children. So come to that stage and all the questions will get answered. We are used to understanding that there is a cause behind every effect. If that is so, then what is the cause behind the existence of this world of mind and matter? Ignorance and sankhara. Because of ignorance, we keep on generating sankhara. And because of sankhara, we keep on multiplying our ignorance, these two supporting each other. And the entire universe is made because of that, nothing else. Is there any preferred order in which the 10 paramis could or should be stated or listed? Or do they each have their own unique merit and therefore can be mentioned at random? In any way, so long as you develop your paramis, that is more important in this order or that order, it doesn't matter. If a fully liberated person is beyond the cycles of rebirth and there is no self, does such a person become absolutely nothing after the final death? The question is answered. Now, what happens after the final death of a fully liberated person is experienced by this fully liberated person in this very life. Given the widespread practice of vipassana, are there sotapannas, anagamis, arhants to be found today? Widespread, not widespread. It is just a drop in the ocean. We are widespread. Billions of people, and how many have started? And they have started just in kindergarten. And yet, there are cases where people have experienced, but very few. This question is not meant to cause offense. Are you Goenka, an enlightened being, having reached the highest level through the practice of vipassana? If not, do you know of others who have reached such stage? One thing very clear, that I am not an arhant. I am not a Buddha. But I am on the path to become arhant. There is no doubt about that. And I have covered certain areas. And I have gained by this technique, I am a changed person compared to what I was when I started it. And one thing, and I can say with little bit of surety, that I have taken a few more steps than you all have taken. That is why I am competent to teach you. Walk, walk on the path and reach the goal. That is more important than examining your teacher whether he has become arhant or no arhant. On Vedana, you frequently mention the tradition where Vedana is primary, fundamental. Is there a name for this tradition? Who are the foremost teacher? Yes, like somebody questioned about Lady Sayadaw. He was the person, historical person, we know. Before that we don't have names, but the tradition was there, who gave all importance to the sensations. Then many of his students worked on it. And some of them became teachers and they started teaching. Then again, they were giving importance to Vedana, to sensation. And then out of them, one of the teachers, Sayate, and he had again number of students, and out of them, few of them started teaching. One was Sayaji Ubakhin, again Vedana. And Sayaji Ubakin had a number of students, and out of them some started teaching, and one is here, and he gives importance to Vedana. So this tradition gives importance to Vedana, body sensations. Oh, then about chanting. Yes. Understand, chanting is done by the teacher, not by the students. Students are not taught how to chant at this stage, at a very high stage. Now it is just a rite, a ritual for the student. Students' job is not to chant. Students' job is to practice, observe, observe, observe. A teacher has got certain duty to give good vibration to the atmosphere where students are working, so that any bad vibration from outside cannot interfere and give any kind of trouble. For that, a sort of protection of good vibration. Mere chanting does not give that good vibration. How one is chanting, that is more important. If one is chanting like a rite or ritual, no good vibration. It's just a rite, a ritual. It's a religious ceremony only. Students who come to a certain stage, some of them, one has to give this lesson of chanting, how to chant, which looks like a very kindergarten lesson. To chant is so easy. We learn Pali and we chant, or we chant in our own language. But no, this is not the Dhamma way of chanting. When you chant, you are aware of sensations, sampajanyan. And every pause between one word and the other word, you are aware of sensation, anicca, anicca, very clearly. And then the next word, and the pause, and the next word. This gives a vibration, Dhamma vibration, in the atmosphere. And this can be done at a higher stage. That is why students are not asked to chant. Only when they reach a certain stage, then they are taught how to chant. And then it is no more a rite or a ritual. Then it is a part of the meditation, that in everything you can add this sampajana. Goin Kaji, please. May all beings be happy. Which part of the being can give or receive metta? Not the ego. What else? Yes, the apparent truth and the ultimate truth. When we do vipassana, we move from the apparent truth, to the deepest, ultimate truth. But when we go to the deepest, ultimate truth, that means, does not mean that we forget all about the apparent truth. The apparent truth is also apparent truth. The apparent truth of this wall is that it is so solid. The apparent truth of my head is that it is so solid. The ultimate truth of the wall is that it is just vibration, nothing but vibration. The ultimate truth of my head is that it is mere vibration. So let the vibration pass through the vibration. I hit the wall, I'll break my head. Buddha wants you to be aware of both the truths, apparent truth as well as ultimate truth. The ultimate truth, there is no being. But when you start working, then you perform wholesome actions, you come out of unwholesome action. Every time you are generating an unwholesome action, aversion, hatred, ill will, animosity, you're harming yourself. But every time, instead of that, you generate metta, love, compassion, goodwill, you started helping yourself. And that is how you make your mind better, 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 to go to that depth where you understand the ultimate truth. And you understand both. This is apparent truth, this is ultimate truth. And then you are working whatever is suitable to work to reach the final goal. Metta helps you to reach the final goal. It appears that your interpretation of the text is not as literal as it could be. How do you know that the interpretation you have taken is correct? Good. What the Buddha intended. Good. The interpretation of Buddha's words we find are different with different people. We are not here to quarrel with them. Because the language is 25 centuries old. The meanings change. And even if the meaning remains the same, one cannot understand what this person actually wanted to say. Because this person that he has said something has said with his own experience. And if I have not reached that experience, I won't understand what he wanted to say. So, one difficulty with the language is that within these 25 centuries, the same words have started carrying different meanings, and that has created a lot of confusion, and that's why we find different interpretations. Another thing is because people who have never experienced anything in Vipassana has translated Buddha's words. So many translations of Buddha are there, Buddha's words are there, but unfortunately most of them have never practiced anything as Buddha taught. Therefore, as you practice, it is not that you condemn them. As you practice, you start understanding, oh, this is what Buddha meant, because my practice, my experience says so. And perhaps this person who is talking like this has perhaps not meditated. Or maybe later on my experience may be much deeper. But now I must accept whatever I am experiencing. And then there were commentaries written 1,000, 1,500 years after Buddha passed away. According to our research work that we have made, the actual Vipassana in its pure form got lost in India in about 500 years. So when these commentaries were written, commentaries were there earlier also, but somehow they again got lost, and they were available only in the Ceylonese Sinhalese language in Lanka. Somebody from India went there, translated it into Pali. But then again, he also put his own interpretation there. The commentaries given by such people is wonderful, because many places it opens the knots very clear. We understand the meaning of the word in those days was like this, because so many synonyms are given for such words which are not clear. Like this, it is wonderful. It gives a wonderful picture, a spectrum of the society of that time in India, to all kinds of social situations, political situations, educational, cultural, religious, philosophical, and different things become so clear by these commentaries. They are very helpful. But at times, when there is a difference, our experience says something else, and we find the commentary says something else, then we have to go to Buddha's words. We have to make a search in Buddha's words. What Buddha said for similar thing, we go through that. And if you find some explanation directly given by Buddha, which is so clear, that without condemning the commentaries, we have to accept that. And this is how some differences have arisen. And perhaps this is what this person is talking about. Like say this word, Vedana. Now, when Vedana, in a particular tradition, they say Vedana is only mental Vedana. And they are quite correct in their own way. Because mental Vedana is a part of those four aggregates of the mind. Vedana is a part of those four aggregates. And when somebody is practicing Vedana Anupassana, it must be mental. But when you go deeply into the words of Buddha, he has given so clear explanation that when I talk of Sukha Vedana, it is body. When I talk of Dukha Vedana, it is body. When I talk of Somanasya Vedana, then it is mind. When I talk of Domanasya Vedana, then it is mind. And here, the teaching of Satipatthana talks of only Sukha Vedana and Dukha Vedana. And then not at one place, number of places where he had talked of Vedana, he talks of the body, how Vedana arises in the body, how Vedana passes away in the body. Like that, the difference is there. But when we go through the exact word of Buddha and make a search in that, we find an explanation which goes in line with the experience. Like this word sampajano. It has created so much confusion. The translation given in different languages and so also in English is clear comprehension. Now what clear comprehension? Clear comprehension of what? Clear comprehension, if somebody is walking and says clear comprehension of walking, then one is clear comprehension of walking only. This is only sati. No sampajano is involved. And he says sampajano. The word sampajano means samma panya janeti. With panya, proper panya, perfect panya, one is understanding what it is. And panya is nothing but the law of nature arising, passing, anicca, dukkha, anatta, one of these three. And then we make a search in Buddha's words and didn't find. Buddha gives the explanation, what is sampajanya? Sampajanya is vidita vedana upajjati. You are observing the vedana coming up. You are feeling the vedana coming up. You are feeling the vedana going away. This is sampajanya. And if you miss vedana, if you miss the sensation on the body and you are just aware of walking, eating, it is good for kindergarten to start with. Just I said, it is good if somebody says itching, and doesn't say this is anicca, doesn't even understand this is anicca, at least to start with, it is all right. But ultimately this must take to the stage where one understands this anicca, look, arisen, passed away, this itching, arisen, arising, passing away, that is sampajano. If this is not included, then the difficulty comes. Like sati parimukhang, now translation is given, keeping the attention in front. Now what confusion has started because of this? Keeping the attention in front. Then people sit down and make imagination, my attention is in front, outside, outside the body somewhere. As if there is somebody who looks to this body from outside. The whole technique was lost. He wants you to observe the reality within the real, within the body. Kaye kaya anupassi, vedana su vedana anupassi. In the vedana you have to feel vedana, in the body you have to feel body, not from outside. So these interpretations of the words differ from different people to different people. But what we do is, we take shelter in Buddha's words. If there is any difference of our experience pertaining to the belief of different other traditions, or if there is a difference with the commentaries, then we go to the Buddha. And there we try to search. And that is why this Vipassana Research Association has been established, to go through all the Buddha's words, make use of the modern apparatus, this computers and all that, and search where a particular word is there. And the computer says it is here, here, here. It's a huge literature. 40, 50 volumes of 300-400 pages each. Huge literature. For one to go through all of that and then remember where Vedana had come, where Vedana, he said, now the computer helps us. And we go through that particular part and we see how Vedana is used here by Buddha, how this Sampajana word is used here by Buddha, and this helps us. And that is why if the different comes, it comes, we can't help it. But again, we don't insist that idam satchang, whatever I am saying, is the truth and nothing else. There is no attachment to it. Whatever I experience, whatever I understand from the direct words of Buddha, that is what I am saying. Because the same thing is said by this line of teachers from whom I got it. I found all of them, among them, they were people who had reached very high stages, and they are understanding in the same way by their experience. I am understanding it the same way in my experience, and thousands of people around the world are experiencing the same thing in, by their own experience. So we are confident that whatever we are teaching is correct according to the Buddha's way. If any doubt is there, I would say practice. This only will take out doubt, nothing else. If this technique does not suit your mind, does not suit your rational brain, rational intellect, then leave it. Work with something else, but work with something else to go to the final goal. Don't keep on mixing, don't keep on running here and there. But if you find that this is a technique which gives you result, then work on it. And go deeper, 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 all the questions will get solved. A time does come in the life of a good meditator, having learned just a knowing knowledge, just a little knowledge of Pali, and when one starts reading the words of Buddha, it becomes so clear as if Buddha is saying this to me. Buddha is directing me. You better do like this, not like this. You better do like this. It will become so clear. All these words will become so clear, they will become clear only by experience. Not just by arguments, not by debates, not by unnecessary intellectualization. That should be there, but at the same time, this is more important. Your experience is more important. You have come to a course like this of Satipatthana, not only to listen to the words of Buddha and the particular interpretation given by a particular teacher, but to experience it. You have started experiencing it, you have taken free few courses, then only you have joined it, and now keep on going deeper, 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 so that the Buddha's teaching becomes so clear. The law of nature becomes so clear to you at the experiential level, so that you get make yourself free from all these sankharas, so that you start experiencing the real liberation within yourself, and ultimately you reach the goal of full liberation, of full nibbana. May all of you who started walking on the path, the right path, have started taking right steps in the right direction, although the path is very long, doesn't matter. However long the path may be, it starts with the first step, and you've taken first step, you've taken second step, and step by step, you are bound to reach the final goal. May all of you who started taking steps on the path of liberation, may all of you reach the final goal. May all of you enjoy real happiness of liberation, real peace of liberation, real happiness of liberation, real peace of liberation.
Bhavatu sarvamangalam. Bhavatu sarvamangalam. Bhavatu.
Discourse with so many questions and answers. Now take rest, but take rest with sampajanya. Take rest with sampajanya.